Amen. Proverbs 31. One verse to start. Amen. Proverbs 31. Thank you. What a blessed song. Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff. Verse number 10. Just one verse to start. Proverbs 31 and in verse number 10. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? By the way, I believe the Bible also gives us a picture of what a virtuous man is. And for us men, if us men want to find a virtuous woman, then you better first be a virtuous man. About time that we realize the responsibility we have in this area, not just put it on the ladies, it's on us men too, amen? And I praise God for the godly ladies we have in our church, but we need some godly men too, amen? I believe there are godly men. We should all strive for that. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And I thank you for the good spirit about our church building today. And God, just you're just moving. I thank you for that. I thank you, God, that each one has come to today and thought it important. Some are here just to support their mom. Others are here because they're typically here. Some are visiting. Lord, for a variety of reasons, we find ourselves together today. But in this time that we have now, as the Word of God's opened and we're preaching, I pray, Father, that God, that you would be able to have free course as the Word of God goes forth and the Holy Spirit administers, Lord, to be able to have a received place in each heart and soul here today. Everybody has come at a particular station in their spiritual walk today. And I pray, Father, that you would help them progress along that walk. For those that are lost, might they hear the gospel, that, God, that they might at least want to take another look at where they find themselves in light of eternity. For those that are saved, I pray you'd encourage us, help us, God, to put off things that doth not profit him, that we would want to walk in your truth. We thank you, God, for those that were around. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the word. We pray now that you would just protect this time. Shelter us here at this moment so that we can tune in and pay attention to what you have for us from your word. Bless this message. Help now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I see three things in this first verse here. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? I find first here that a virtuous woman, by this text, is rare. Because it says, who can find, right? I know as of recent, people have been, I think it was Sunday night, look out across the churchyard. Everybody's looking for four-leaf clovers. Amen. Who can find a four-leaf clover? Well, some people seem better at it than others. Amen. Some really struggled. How many, the other night, who all found a four-leaf clover? Anybody like that? I see some hands. Amen. That was good. That was a lot of fun. I think I saw somebody found like a five or a six-leaf, didn't they? I think it was a six-leaf clover someone found. That's really rare. Amen. Some people have a hard time ever finding a four-leaf clover. Amen. How many's never found a four-leaf clover? Wow. See that? So you know what I'm talking about. Who can find a four-leaf clover? Well, more rare than a four-leaf clover, who can find a virtuous woman? Any woman can be loose and tainted by the world. That's easy. Any man can be worldly. But who can find a virtuous woman? It says this. It says that her price is far above rubies. I find in this text that a virtuous woman is rare, but a virtuous woman is, what we're going to find is opportunistic. Amen? Opportunistic. If we listen to our text, that rare jewel of a virtuous woman isn't just virtuous, it just in an intrinsic sense, right? Meaning that comes from within. She's virtuous because of some things that God is able to do through her, which we will see. And then a virtuous woman being valuable, rare, opportunistic, and valuable. Amen. Look, if you will, please, over to Psalm 139. We're going to look very quickly this morning at some prerequisites to being a virtuous woman, or would also fit to be a virtuous man. In Psalm 139 and verse number 14, we're going to see that for us to be virtuous, there's a prerequisite, actually a couple prerequisites, and the first prerequisite to that, or before you can be virtuous, this has to happen. You have to embrace how God made you. Amen. In Psalm 139, 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but men and women are different. But all people are different, in a sense. Amen. We are all made in such a way that we have certain characteristics, and we all don't have all characteristics. Praise the Lord, we don't all lack all characteristics. We all have something. Amen. And there's variety with God. God is a God of variety. Now, consistency, right? And within kind, right? But at the same time, there's a variety. And it's important to note the differences and distinctions that God actually makes. And not to be discontent with how God has made you or where you actually find yourself in life. It's interesting. Some people are born into a rich family. Some people are born into poor families. Most people are born into somewhere in between, amen, type of families. Some people are born in this country, in this state. I was born in Ohio, in this country. Others are born all over the world, different places, amen. We're all different on these things. The different languages. In America, we speak one language. Everywhere else, they speak multiple languages, amen. Just the way it is, amen. But the point is this, is that you were made special by God. You were made to be just who you are, amen. And if you're going to be virtuous, you're going to have to agree with God that what he did in making you was good. Not that you're good, because there is none good, but how God made you, where he set you as far as our world's concerned, the parents that he gave you, just the abilities, all these different things. God does all things well. And to say that he made you wrong isn't so much to say you're smart now because you figured it out. It's really an indictment against your creator. And when you start doing that, start indicting God, what happens is you're the loser over it. Because now you're going to start chasing something that is impossible for you to attain. If you're a guy and you want to be a girl, you can go do all kinds of surgeries, you can take therapies, you can do all kinds of things, but you know what never stops happening is the fact that you're still a guy. And if you're, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything, I'm just saying this is an outpouring in our country and across the world of a discontent with God. This isn't so much about science. Matter of fact, it's anti-science. I don't know about you, but it totally goes against everything. It totally goes against the whole chromosome lesson, amen, in science class. Amen. The point is this, is that you're made just like God wanted you to be made. And with the way he made you, he's made you able to be virtuous in the way he made you. And that's what we're going to look at. So number one prerequisite would be that you actually embrace how God made you. Do you know in Mark 10, 6, it says, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. But look over in Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Do you know suicide today is off the charts high? Why is that when we're so smart? Why is that when every young person in their mom and dad's basement's got it all figured out? Why is that suicide is high? Why is drug abuse high? Listen, if life is so good, why do you have to be high? Why can't you just be happy in life when God has given us richly all things to enjoy? Why can't we get to a place where we actually enjoy living? Well, the reality is that we can. We can. Amen? But it's not circumstance-based. Amen? It's not based on circumstance because we're all born into different circumstances. Right? And we can be in dire circumstances and still have the joy of the Lord in our heart. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you, I'm sorry, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. What the Bible's speaking here is that physically we are different. Men and women are different. But do you know spiritually, we're very similar. We are all born with the same need. We're all born sinners and we need a Savior. We're all born with a desire to know God. Everyone has this vacuum within them that causes them to seek spiritual things, right? We're in a heightened day of spirituality today, amen? Now, not everybody's flocking to God. That's because they don't like what God has to say, but they do flock to something spiritual, some type of whether it's New Ageism, whether it's Islam, Catholicism, some Protestantism, Mormonism, some type of ism, whether it's just worshiping stars, worshiping the zodiac, worshiping, everybody seeks something spiritual. You know, we're all created that way. It's interesting. So while physically we're different, spiritually we're very similar. There's neither male nor female. I want to show you something in Genesis 1. Genesis 1 and verse number 26. Luke said he was reading there earlier today. Is that right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1. This is very interesting. Genesis 1. I wonder today, are you discontent with how God made you, with where you find yourself in life? Are you discontent? Because if you are, you're not virtuous. And I'll show you how that works. Very important we understand. Say, I can be virtuous and be discontent. No, you can't. No, you can't. And I'll show you why that is the case. Look at Genesis 1 and verse number 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now, us there would be Elohim. It would be the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them. All right? So let us make man, and it says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We're going to come back to that. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said of all the, verse number 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be meat, for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given you every green herb for meat. And it was so. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God created man, that Hebrew word is actually the word Adam. When God created man, Adam, he created man with everything necessary for both male and female to come forth. Because what he ultimately did was he would then put the man to sleep and take from the man to make the woman. So when he originally created man, male and female were within man, right? And so what happened here in the process of time is that God then would pull woman out. That's what woman means, because she came out of man. Amen? And so now we find male and female. We're going to find that in life, that there's some interesting things that take place as far as male and female men. We're all part of mankind. You're made in the image of God. You're not an animal. We're not just some other, animal out there. That's not how God made us. He made us in his image. Amen. And he made us with purpose. If you saw through here all the things that God made us to do and to be, the male and female experience in this life is natural. Amen. The male and female experience in life is natural. I know there was a play going on at the school over there, suburban, Friday, Saturday. I think Jeremiah was in the background, amen, doing some sound stuff on a Friday. But do you know that in that play, there would have been different roles in that play? And they would have probably auditioned for that. And they probably went through a process and you got this role or you got this role, then you get this role, that role. Do you know that the same person can't play every role? It's a scientific thing, you know, that kind of two people can't be in this different places at the same time. It's just the way it goes. And we're physical, amen. We can't like split ourselves up like that right now, amen. Or maybe ever, I don't know. But the point is this. Do you know that in life, you are who you are and you're not somebody else? I know it's deep. I know. It's very deep, deep, deep discussion at McGregor Road Baptist Church this morning. But do you know what we do in life? We find ourselves comparing ourselves with others and wishing that maybe you were born into a different family or maybe that you had a different spouse or maybe you had different children or maybe whatever. You can go on and on and on and on. And what that does is maybe even regretting that you made certain decisions and wishing things weren't like that. You can wish all you want. You can go through that whole process, but it doesn't change anything except make you discontented. And as long as you're discontented, you can't be virtuous, which I'll show. Look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Now, this is natural, meaning God has made us such that we can only play one role on earth throughout our life. I'll be honest with you. I wish I could play more. Amen? Because I enjoy different things. I mean, I enjoy being an aircraft mechanic for the time I was that. I enjoy pastoring. I think I would enjoy doing some other things too. Maybe being in different countries and speaking different languages. I'm glad to be in this country and speak this language. I don't know what it would be like to live in Russia. You say it'd be horrible. I don't know that. Maybe to some, not to all. I don't know. I think it'd be fun to play different roles all over the earth. You guys don't think this way? I think that'd be exciting. Amen. I think it'd be wonderful. I used to think when I was a long time ago, amen, when I was little, I used to feel, literally as a kid, I used to feel sorry for all the people that were born somewhere other than where I was being raised. Because I thought I had it great. Amen. I'm sure others thought that same thing. And I'm sure others thought that where they were raised was the worst. I mean, this is just the way it goes. But in the male-female physical experience, we only get to play that one role, one part. Matthew 22, verse number 28. It says, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven? That was, of course, the question from the Pharisees to Jesus in reference to the woman who had the husband, they would die, the brother would then try to raise up seed. Ultimately, she would have seven husbands. And so the question was asked, who will be her husband in the resurrection? And Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So on earth, we get to have this male, female, differing experience along these lines. But in a spiritual realm, there is no male, female like that. We will not have these same things going on like we do today. We are more equal there, as the Bible indicates. But you're going to have to embrace how God has made you, and then you must seek to understand your strength and weaknesses in the part that God has given you to play on earth. Now, every one of us has a thought in mind of how we want our life to be, but you do not have the opportunity to write your own script. And everybody that tries only ends up being discouraged through the process. In this particular experiment that we're involved in, amen, or whatever God's doing, amen, in our lives, it's kind of like a day-by-day thing, amen. And God is working in our lives, and we have to be okay with that. Most people spend most of their time being upset about where they find their self in life right now. My life would be great if this was changed. My life would be great if this was not like this, and my life would be this. And we spend all of our time regretting where we are instead of embracing where we are. There is a connection between the physical and the spiritual. Physically speaking, you are where you are today. It just is what it is, amen. And you can't change that. And can I say, your physical affects your spiritual. Now, being virtuous simply means this, as we'll see. It means to excel with what you've been given to work with. To excel, if we read through Proverbs 31, is there a woman in here that says, check, 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 got that one down, check, check, oh yeah, buy and sell lands, yep, check, tuck. I work with the spindle, the staff, making my own clothes. Check. Make so much that I have enough to sell. Check. Check. Anybody like that? You go through that list and you say, as I read through Proverbs 31, every one of those as a female, I excel in them all. Anybody like that? Looking? Not one of y'all raised your hands. Does that passage discourage you? Because you're thinking, man, I'll never be that woman. Hopefully not. What it should do is show you the standard of what it means to be virtuous. And what it simply means is that amongst all the women, there is an average, which is a mean, of where most people will find themselves, women. To be virtuous, by God's help, you're going to have to excel above the mean. That's what virtuous is referring to. The first thing that we all must excel in is in reference to our sinful condition that we're saddled with. Every one of us started out our life on earth as a sinner. That is the norm. If you stay there, you didn't excel. Because God has given you the ability to be forgiven and receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? You say, well, how come not everybody does that? Well, there's a lot of things that fight against that. Number one, for you to be born again, you're going to have to realize that you can't save yourself. And that it's not about the church you belong to. It's not about the good deeds you do. It's not about maybe going through a religious act like baptism. It's not about you being born in the United States of America. It's not about you comparing yourself with others and saying, well, at least I'm not an axe murderer, right? It's not about that. Salvation is about Jesus and the work he did on the cross at Calvary and shedding his righteous blood to make an atonement, a propitiation for you and I. And he said this, that there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one. His name's Jesus. And it's through the doctrine of imputation. If we'll come his way, agreeing with God that we're in that condition as a sinner, and we'll see his work, his death, his burial, and his resurrection as sufficient to pay for our sin and to deliver us from that condition, and we'll ask God, he'll save us. Amen? But a lot of people won't do that. Why? I don't know. Pride, maybe. Maybe they think it's too simple. But I would encourage you, if that's where you're at today, study the Word of God on this. Let God speak to you on this, because as long as you stay in that sinful place, then you've not excelled. Amen? And you will never experience what God desires for you to become. Physically and spiritually, if you never excel past that point, you're stuck. And the only place you can go is to a place called hell. That's where all those go that actually reject Christ. Amen. So the first thing you must do is excel in reference to your condition, the prerequisites in reference to being a virtuous man or a woman. And then you're going to have to identify the opportunities and challenges of your life. What has God given you in this life? Once you're born again, what has God given you to work with? You got to identify that. You're not me. I'm not you. You're not, if you look around, you're not anybody else. You're you. Remember that woman that Jesus noted? She cast, I think it was two mites into the treasury. And Jesus said, oh, guys, look right there. She cast in more than anybody else. I mean, people are putting hundreds in there, right? They're putting all this gold, all this stuff in there. And this woman, just a couple little mites. And Jesus said, right there, she's done more than everybody else. And they were like, what are you talking about? They've cast in all so much more than her. And he said, yeah, but she's cast in all of her living. So with what she had, she gave so much more than anybody else, than anybody else. You see, from our perspective, we just want the amount to be higher. But from Christ's perspective, what he's judging you on is based on what you have to work with. That's it. All I have to do to be virtuous in God's eyes is to be faithful with what God has given me to work with. Think about people that are born with disabilities. Some that their mind never develops, and they're just not able to do all that. Some people can't speak. Some people can't hear. These different disabilities people have. Some people can't even get around. They can't walk. Some people are born without the ability to feel. Whew, that would be a tough one. That'd be really tough. The point is this, is that God has not put on all of us the same standard in the area of us excelling. How about this? I was born into a Catholic home. I wasn't taught the gospel. I didn't hear the gospel that I can remember. I didn't hear the true gospel message one time until I was 22 years old. Not one time that I can remember. And so that's where I came into this thing at. Amen? And so when I came in, I heard the gospel. A couple years later, actually, it took me a while. I made a false profession, ended up getting saved. That's where I started. Amen? And that's where I'm judged from. But a lot of you have been, you all have been hearing the gospel since you were like 9 months before you're out. Amen? I mean, you've been hearing the gospel preached. You know the preacher's voice before you're even born. Amen? And you've been hearing the words preached and preached and preached. And you know, a lot of you that have heard the gospel over and over, do you know you might have a harder time getting saved than maybe I did? But do you know you're more accountable? Because you've been given something. Too much is given, much shall be required. God is not holding you accountable for what you don't have, but he absolutely is holding you accountable for what you do have. Amen? How about the talents? The one that was given one talent, like, all I got is this one special little talent here. I don't want to lose it. I want to go hide that thing. I want to go dig a hole, put it in the ground. I do not want to lose my Lord's talent. Right? Another one was given two. Another one was given five. The one that was given two, he's like, man, if my Lord gave me something, I got to do something with it. And so he took those two and made two more. He had four. And then the other one that was given five, he said, I've been given a lot. I got to do something with it. And he made another five. He had 10. And his Lord came back and he said to the one, he said, you wicked and slothful servant. I gave you something and you did nothing with it, and cast him out. And he actually took the one and gave it to the one that had 10. The point is this, is that to be virtuous, all it means is that you do something proper with what God has given you to work with. Now, this lady in Proverbs 31 no doubt had a few things to work with. Amen. She apparently had some means, some abilities. I don't know all the ins and outs. She had some things there, but I believe she made good use of those things. And for that, she is called virtuous. I ask you this question. What are you doing with what God gave you? Number one, are you a Christian? Because God's given you the gospel. If you haven't been given it before, you were given it today. God has revealed to you your condition. And God has showed you the solution. His name is Jesus Christ. Islam doesn't have it. No false religion has it. You say, how do you know that? We have this thing called a Bible. And you are required. Say, how do you know that's God's word? Do this. Ask God if this is his word. Amen. Have you ever done that? Say, I'm just not so sure. First off, you and I are not the source of truth. Be not deceived, which means we're capable of being deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupts good manners. Maybe what you're hanging out around and listening to is corrupting your ability to discern some things. Amen. Get into this book and you ask God, say, God, you show me if this is your book or not. Have you ever done that? Because one day you're going to give an account because you've still been given this. Whether you pay it any attention or not, you've been given this book. Do you know there's a lot of languages that don't even have the scriptures in their language? But you can go to any dollar store and for a buck buy yourself a Bible. A King James Bible. Dollar stores, inflation's hitting. It might be a buck and a quarter now. Still pretty cheap. You're accountable for this. And there's churches like ours preaching. Preaching the book. Preaching truth. You can come, you can sit, you can bask in someone else's labor and listen. Open your Bible, amen, and study. You have been given much by being born in this country and this area where this is going on. There's some places in our country that there's not good churches preaching the truth. But in our area, there is. There, it's going forth. You are accountable. What have you done with it? You see, when you stand before God and you give an account, he's not going to have you give an account for your spouse. Some people act like that in life. Like, I would be able to do something if it wasn't for my spouse. They hold me back. Whoa, 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 whoa. God is not holding you accountable for what you don't have. He's holding you accountable for what you do have. Let me ask you this. Would you rather manage for a really important high official, would you rather manage 10 of his dollars or 10 million of his dollars? Really important guy. He holds the keys to life and death in his hands. Would you rather manage a lot for him or just a little? I'm thinking it'd be easier just to manage a little. I mean, if that guy is ultimately going to judge me and deal with me according to my stewardship, sign me up for the little. See, in life, we keep saying to God, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. I want a faithful this. I want this. I want more of this. I want that. Whoa, 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 whoa. How about you just start being responsible and faithful with the little that you have right now? Because the more he gives you, the more you're going to give an account for, you see. Look at Proverbs, back to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. In life, the physical and spiritual are constantly overlapping. We must embrace how God has made us. And we must understand that we will give an account for what God has given. Some of you ladies have not had any kids. Some of you ladies have had a lot of kids. Do you know those that don't have kids will not have to give an account for how they raised them? But do you know for all of those of you that have had one or more, you got a lot to answer for, Missy. You got a lot to answer for because you have been stewarding that precious child from the day they were, well, before they were born. Because we start being parents before they come out of the womb, amen. You have a lot to give an account for. How you're training them, how you're raising them, where you're leading them to go and to be and think. You have a lot to give an account for. But if you've never had kids, you don't have to give an account for that. But you do have something else to give an account for. Isn't that amazing? The spiritual and physical truly overlap. The spiritual aspect of being virtuous is to embrace God and specifically how He made you. The physical aspect of being virtuous is to make the most of what God has given me to work with. Who would you say was more virtuous? The guy that, if you're trying to build something, like, a car, build your own car. Amen? If someone gave you a ready-made build a car kit, and everything was there, and it was all numbered, it was all laid out, all the instructions, and you came together, and it took you a while, but you finally did it. Would that one be more virtuous, or the one that started with nothing and built a car? Like Henry Ford, I guess, right? That guy right there, he figured something out. Or the Wright brothers, I mean, flying. We watch birds fly and all that, but to make something to fly like that? That's pretty crazy. Do you see what I'm saying? Some of you have been given a ready-made kit for success in life, and you've done nothing with it. Or maybe you've just done the minimal, and you coast on through life like you're something special, but wait a second, you were handed it all. If you had parents that were millionaires, I don't think anybody's in this room is in that place. If you had parents that were millionaires, and for your graduation present for high school, they give you $1 million. And then you go, this happens, and then you go out, you buy yourself a car, you ride on the coattails of daddy, and you get yourself a job. You buy yourself a house. How much have you really done? Nothing. Because all you've done is taken something from somebody else. The future will really tell how you're going to do when that money begins to run out. Amen. But what if you started this thing with nothing and you were just responsible? Do you see the difference? This is how really virtue is defined in the scriptures. Look at Proverbs 31, verse number 11. This is this woman. And by the way, every woman in here, this can be you. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. That happens if you're faithful and love as you should, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He's not looking out somewhere else for his needs to be fulfilled, because you actually embody the scriptures and you complete him. Amen. As you should. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's a blessing. Amen. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh. What's that word? Oh, yeah, willingly. She's not complaining about it, harping about it, willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is. Now, I know you ladies like to sleep. I get it. But sometimes there's more important things than that, like the caring of your family and making sure things are done right. And this particular woman said, compared to that, I'd rather lose sleep over it. You see, she considereth a field and buyeth it. She's able to engage in commerce and on, she's planting a vineyard. She's doing all kinds of things, amen. Say, what's the point? It says, many daughters have done virtuously, but verse 29 says, thou excellest them all. Anybody can skate through when they've been given something, but you're going to be judged on how well you excel in a right way. That's what virtuous means. Ladies, gentlemen, how are we excelling today? How are we excelling? Are we progressing in life, in godliness? I know it's a dark day that we live. I know things are crazy. But do you know that God's people can still excel? Do you know that souls are still being saved? But you'll never see a soul saved if you never tell anybody about Jesus. Of all the Christians out there, what's the percentage of Christians that actually have led a soul to Jesus to where they actually got saved? How many? Because if you've not done that, you're not excelling. You're not excelling in the area of soul winning. You're not. How many Christians actually make it a point to disciple somebody and teach somebody how to live as a Christian, how to pray, how to function in life, how to go forward? Who's doing that? Amen. Bible says when they ought to be teachers, they have need that one teach them, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And so the point is this. God says, you should be excelling. You've been saved now, possibly for years or decades, amen. You should be excelling. But you still have need that someone take the bottle and get you something there to suck on. You can't even handle the meat yet. You still need it all. By the way, all milk is another cow milk. The cow processed it for you. That's what the process is. And then the cow did all the work, breaking all that stuff down, and then you get to drink the milk. The same thing's true in Christianity. At some point, you got to stop drinking the milk off of other Christians, and you become the one who processes it. And you give it out. That's excelling. Are you excelling? Are you excelling as a mom, as a dad, as a spouse? You say, I got big challenges in my marriage. Hallelujah. God's up to the challenge. But you have to want to excel in it. There are problem solvers, and then there's some that say, oh, got a problem, turn around. I don't know what that's like to live that kind of life, amen. No, if we come up against something that's hard, excel, amen. You get alone with God, and you find out how to go forward. You say, but it's hard. I know, but it's rewarding. And you will be. How happy do you think this virtuous woman was? By the text, I think she's doing pretty good. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Mom, you're the greatest mom in the world. Thank you. You are amazing. What mom wouldn't like to hear that? Dad, you're masculine. That's a compliment. Dad, you're masculine, you're a hard worker. I mean, you sit in the gate with those other politicians and you tell them what's going on and you vie for us and you help our community. Thank you, Dad. Are you a virtuous man? Are you a virtuous woman? Are you excelling with what God gave you or barely getting by? Because you're going to give an account. Not for what I did with what I had. Not for what your spouse did with what they had. Stop blaming them. Not for what your kids did, for what they had. You'll give an account for how you trained them, but they're going to give an account for what they did with what they were given. Joe Biden's going to give an account all by himself. So's Nancy. Amen. And Chuck. And everybody else. And Donald. Everybody else, they're going to give an account for what they did with what they were given. But you better mark it down. So will you. And the excuses aren't going to work that day. The blame shifting ain't going to work that day. No. What was it that those heard with the talents that actually did something with it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear that. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Let's stop complaining. Let's stop wishing our circumstances were different, that our maybe what we have, what we possess, our looks, our likes, our dislikes. Let's stop wishing all that was changed. And stop trying to vie for a change. Instead, let's just take an account of what we do have and be faithful with that. Amen? And if you'll do that, God will call you virtuous. First, though, you need to be born again. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We thank you for this time together. I thank you, God, for each and every one here today. I pray that I've been able to encourage by your word each one that's here to be more virtuous with what you've given them. You've given us all so much, God. You have blessed us, God. You have blessed us above measure in so many ways. God, help us not to be an unthankful, unholy people, dear God. But God, help us to desire, like the lady here in Proverbs 31, she excelled. She excelled in everything. Not because she was better than anybody else, but she did see that she was accountable. And she's a great example. Help us, Lord, to learn from her today, her example. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads by eyes closed for a moment.